Seattle is abuzz this week with talk about earthquakes. That's thanks to a New Yorker article titled, "The Really Big One." If a really big one does hit Washington State, it could be catastrophic, in part because many buildings and much of our infrastructure is not ready for a big quake. Our neighbors to the north up in British Columbia are in much the same boat. Vaughn Palmer, columnist with the Vancouver Sun, told KUOW's David Hyde how prepared BC is for a quake.
Well, of course, that article in the New Yorker only talked about Seattle, so we're not in the least bit worried up here. We're just smug and safe. No, seriously. As with everyone else in the Pacific Northwest, we've known the problem for a long time, and we've been dealing with it to some degree. So here's a few of the things we have done. The government has been systematically dealing with the schools of the province. Spent about $2.2 billion, which is a lot, on 200 school projects. There's still a fairly long list of schools to be done. It's expensive. Ideally, you replace these buildings, but a lot of them are retrofits, and that's expensive. So we've done that. However, with the hospitals, we had a story in the Vancouver Sun on this recently, a lot of the major hospitals in British Columbia have not been done and would collapse in a major quake. And when are you going to need your hospitals the most? Well, the plan with the hospitals is to replace them and modernize them. And again, very expensive, so a lot of them are not done.
What's all that expected to cost?
Billions on the hospitals. The new hospital for Vancouver, it'll cost about $2 billion, and it'll be in a new location, and they haven't started it yet, so that's going to take a while. Another thing we've been spending a lot of money on, it doesn't really show, but it's pretty important, is the hydroelectricity grid in the province. So they've been retrofitting old dams because they're worried they might collapse, and they've been upgrading the transmission towers and the hydroelectric network so that if we do get the big one, we'll still have power.
What about commercial and private buildings and homes?
Building codes have been upgraded and toughened. New buildings are built to standard. Old buildings, well, it just depends really on whether or not your company decided to retrofit or move. It's not going to be the level of problem that you're going to have if it's your hospitals or your bridges, in terms of the impact on everyone. We have, as I'm sure you do in Seattle, a liquefaction of the ground problem. The municipality of Richmond, including our airport, is built on soft silt, so there will be liquefaction, and there will be buildings collapsing because of that. And in terms of, one of the things that your disaster planning that is central to it, David, is, okay, we're going to get hit hard, but we are a first world country, and our neighbors are not going to be hit hard, so they'll be able to fly in relief and supplies and all that. Well, except if your airport runways are sunken. So a bunch of stuff has been done, hundreds of millions of dollars spent. It won't surprise you. There's a whole lot more to be done.
I'm just wondering, Vaughn, for you personally, there are plenty of things in the world to worry about. Bad traffic. Are you getting enough vitamin D? How worried about this are you?
Well, in one respect, I should be worried. I inhabit a very old brick building with beams in the ceiling the size of train locomotives that would come entirely crashing down on my head in an earthquake. Because the building inspector was in a while ago, and he advised me that it was the least earthquake-proof building in British Columbia. And also, some of these guys have great sense of humor, right? Said, even if you did manage to get out, you'd probably be decapitated by the slate tiles coming off the roof. So that's my building. And I'll tell you, I was in this building during the Nisqually quake. It didn't happen in the middle of the night. It happened in the middle of the day. And we got a ripple that went right through here. Fortunately, only lasted a few seconds. So the building survived. So on a personal note, yes, I'm well aware of it. On the other hand, I took a wonderful walking tour around Crater Lake in Oregon a few summers ago. And the guide who was giving us the look around told me that when that one went off, 10,000 years ago, which is nothing in geological time, it blew about a mile worth of the mountain into the atmosphere. So should I be more worried about the quake than I am, say, about what might happen to Mount Rainier? And then, of course, there's a tsunami as well. My wife and I were measuring the height of the bluff in front of our house the other day, and we concluded it's only about 30 feet high, and I guess we need 100 feet to survive that tsunami that's coming. So, and what do? I summer on the beach in Oregon. It's very nice the Oregonians have these lovely little escape routes for the tsunami. Although, again, I noticed the New Yorker pointed out that most of them are just about useless because the wave is going to be coming a heck of a lot faster than you can run.
Do you have an emergency kit, an emergency plan?
I was afraid you were going to ask that. You know, I've been meaning to get one of those. What happens here, every time one of these scary stories goes, people like me go, you know, it's time to get the earthquake kit. And you go to the store, and what do you find? They're all sold out. Everybody else thought the same way. By the time they get more stock in, you've forgotten the issue. So answer is no.
That's Vaughn Palmer, columnist for the Vancouver Sun. He spoke with KUOW's David Hyde. Well, if, like Vaughn, you don't have an emergency kit, you can find out what you need at emergency.cdc.gov and just search emergency kit.